Voilà, donc nous allons prendre un petit temps pour des questions.
So we'll take a little time for questions.
J'ai pas pensé à vous proposer de les écrire à l'avance, mais
I didn't think to have you write them down in advance.
Ça fait rien, donc.
But that's okay.
Alors, la parole est à vous.
So, you have the floor.
Ne posez pas des questions sur la situation politique en France.
Please don't ask me any questions about the political situation in France.
Et donc plutôt sur le thème de notre retraite.
More on the theme of the retreat.
Do you have any advice for people to deal with scrupulosity in prayer and just kind of like helping them out when they need help to learn how to pray?
Les gens qui luttent contre les scrupules et la prière. Et comment prier?
La question des scrupules.
So the question of scrupulosity.
C'est une question qui est parfois un petit peu complexe.
It's a complex question.
Parce que ça peut avoir différentes origines.
Because it could have different origins.
Mais parfois, ça peut être un temps d'épreuve.
Sometimes it's a time of trial.
On voit dans la vie de certains saints que
we see in the lives of certain saints.
Parfois, ils ont vécu un temps d'épreuve assez douloureux.
That sometimes they lived through a time of trial that was pretty painful.
Avec le sentiment que tout ce qu'ils faisaient n'était pas bon.
With the sense that everything they were doing wasn't good.
Puis donc après ça, ils sont sortis de ce temps-là.
And then afterward, they came out of this time.
Parfois, ça peut être lié aussi à une certaine fragilité psychologique.
Sometimes it can be connected to a psychological fragility.
Alors, c'est vrai que ça peut être douloureux.
But it can be very painful.
Alors, je pense que je dirais qu'il n'y a pas de recette pour guérir totalement de cela.
So there's no formula for how to heal from it completely.
Je crois que peu à peu, en grandissant dans la foi, dans l'espérance, dans l'amour,
I think that little by little, in growing in faith, hope and love,
les choses peuvent se pacifier.
Things can become more calm.
Je crois que ce qui est important pour quelqu'un qui a tendance à être scrupuleux,
but I think that what's important for someone who has a tendency to be scrupulous,
c'est vraiment de, je dirais, des actes de confiance.
I would say it's acts of trust.
De retourner toujours à une attitude de confiance.
To always come back to rediscovering an attitude of trust. Even if I feel that I've made a mistake, what I've done hasn't been good. Really try not to torment myself too much. And remind myself that God is a father. And come back to this attitude of trust. I think what else is also important for people who are tormented by scruples is to speak with someone and to live a certain obedience. Because when we're tempted to scrupulosity, we don't see straight. We make problems bigger than they are. And we accuse ourselves over things that aren't important. So we're not good judges in regards to ourselves. So we really need to rely on the word of someone else. Someone who says no, what you're doing is good. So, for example, what happens a lot to scrupulous people, because of a small sin that they committed, they don't allow themselves to go to communion because they see their fault as being very, very serious. And in those circumstances, we need someone else. We need to rely on the word of someone who will say, no, 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 you have to keep going to communion, for example. That can help sometimes. To rely on the authority of someone.
Oui, bien sûr.
Yes, of course.
Ça peut arriver, oui.
That can happen.
C'est vrai que la stratégie du démon.
It's true that the strategy of the devil
de chercher à inquiéter,
is to worry people, to upset people,
de troubler,
and to trouble,
justement pour décourager les personnes,
in order to discourage people.
Ça peut être un des moyens qu'il utilise.
So it could be one of the ways that he uses.
connais pas très bien ce qui existe en littérature anglaise.
I'm not really sure what exists in English writing.
Alors évidemment, il y a des grands classiques.
So obviously there are great classics. Like Teresa of Avila. And the Way of Perfection. She gives a lot of advice on prayer. And that remains very to date. So there are the great spiritual classics. But in terms of modern authors that are available today in the US, I don't know enough. I'm sure there's a lot of really good books. But I don't know them well enough myself.
You mentioned like accepting our cross in the first part, God gives us and how that brings about peace. I guess there seems to be a tension usually between like accepting our cross and then like trying to improve ourselves. And like I wonder if you could comment on that.
L'équilibre entre acceptance de sa croix et essayer d'améliorer soi-même.
Enfin, vous posez une bonne question.
That's a good question.
Alors, c'est vrai que c'est pas toujours facile.
So it's true that it's not always easy.
Ce que dans notre vie nous pouvons améliorer.
I would say that what we can make better in our lives.
Ce que je peux guérir.
What I can heal.
Les souffrances dont je peux être soulagé.
The sufferings from which I can be relieved.
Je dois le faire.
I have to do that.
Si je suis malade, il faut que je me soigne.
If I'm sick, I have to take care of myself.
Donc, je crois que c'est clair.
I think this is clear.
C'est vrai que dans notre existence,
but it's true that in our existence,
nous rencontrerons toujours à certains moments,
we come against a certain time,
certaines difficultés, certaines souffrances,
a certain suffering or a certain difficulty
qu'on peut pas éliminer,
that we can't eliminate. And in this case, we have to accept it and believe that God can bring something good out of it. Accept it in a walk of hope and of faith. In communion with the Lord. In what we live. I think that's the general rule.
Soulager les souffrances qu'on peut soulager.
We need to heal the sufferings that can be healed.
Il ne s'agit pas d'être passif ou paresseux.
It's not a question of being passive or lazy.
Mais à part de souffrances qui est inévitable.
But not the sufferings that are inevitable.
L'accueillir.
We have to welcome those.
Au Saint-Esprit, est-ce qu'il y a une règle? Est-ce que c'est
prier?
Oui, est-ce que c'est meilleur de prier le Père?
Il n'y a pas de règle.
So there's no rule.
Je dirais que d'abord ça dépend un petit peu de chacun.
I think first it depends a little bit on each person.
Ça peut dépendre aussi des étapes de la vie spirituelle.
And it can also depend on the stage you're at in spiritual life.
Ce qui est important quand même.
What's important?
C'est que chacune des personnes de la Trinité.
Is that each person of the Trinity? It's important that each one of us, that we have a relationship with each person of the Trinity. If we're speaking of people, this means that we can have a relationship with a person. So we have to have a relationship with Jesus.
Invoquer l'Esprit Saint,
invoke the Holy Spirit.
Faire une certaine expérience aussi de la présence de l'Esprit.
And also have an experience of the presence of the Spirit.
Et puis, connaître le Père aussi.
And also know the Father.
C'est un peu le terme.
Which is, this is kind of the term, the objective, the objective.
Le Fils et l'Esprit nous conduisent vers le Père.
The Father and the Holy, or the Son and the Holy Spirit guide us toward the Father.
Alors, Donc je crois qu'il faut, il faut chercher à entretenir une relation avec les trois personnes.
So we have to try to have a relationship with each person.
Je crois qu'il y a aussi un peu ce que nous découvrons progressivement.
I think this is what we discover progressively too.
Oui, je crois que très souvent la vie de prière.
Very often in prayer life.
Commence comme une amitié avec le Christ.
It begins like with a friendship with Christ.
Ce qui est par certains côtés le plus simple.
Which is on some levels the easiest.
Parce qu'il s'est fait homme.
Because he became man.
So
we can represent him. We can know his words. We can meditate on his example. So this is a very important dimension of spiritual life. This friendship with Jesus. Considering that it's man as God. And then all of the dynamics of the limitations of Christ. But also to understand the mystery of Christ in all of its depth, we need the light of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, our knowledge will remain superficial, maybe just human or historical. But to know Jesus in the depth of his love and his life, to develop this friendship with Christ, we need the grace of the Holy Spirit. So there's a discovery of the Holy Spirit that's necessary. And then also this filial relationship with the Father that I was speaking of. It's one of the fundamental dimensions of our Christian life and of our prayer. So we don't all have the same path. Maybe some people start with one person for personal reasons. It's true that when someone has had a difficult relationship with their father, it's not always easy to accept the idea of God as a father. So they have to walk a path where God enlightens them,
or
certain things are healed to fully receive the face of the Father. What I think is important is to go forward. In our Christian life, in our prayer life, if we have a real desire to know God, to love Him with all of our heart, I think little by little the Holy Spirit will guide us through certain experiences, through God's Word. Little by little things become deeper. But the path can be different from person to person. So it's true that very often the beginning place is the personal relationship with Jesus. Meditating on the life of Christ and that He's the door that opens to us and opens us to the work of the Spirit. And then there's the discovery of the Father. But there's no law. It's just about meeting and the relationship with the other. And it remains a little bit mysterious how we discover a person, know a person, and what is the deepest in them. This is the beauty of Christianity too. We can have a living relationship with each person of the Trinity.
Quand on prie, quand on cherche la volonté de Dieu, est-ce qu'il y a une méthode de discernement pour des décisions particulières?
So you've asked an important question, but it's complex. How to discern the will of God? There isn't a formula that works all the time. There isn't a program or a method that allows us in a certain way to always know God's will.
Donc parfois c'est normal qu'il y ait une certaine obscurité.
It's sometimes it's normal that there's a certain amount of darkness.
Ce qui est important, c'est de chercher de manière sincère.
But I think what's important is to search in a sincere way.
Je vais chercher, vous trouverez.
God, Jesus says, if you search, you will find.
Donc, désirer connaître et accomplir la volonté de Dieu.
To desire to know and to accomplish the will of God.
Donc avoir une vie de prière personnelle.
Have a personal prayer life.
C'est souvent dans la prière que Dieu nous éclaire.
Because it's often in prayer that God enlightens us.
Confronter avec la parole de Dieu aussi.
And also we can be comforted with the word of God as well.
Qui parfois est importante pour nous éclairer.
That's sometimes very important for enlightening us.
Et puis je dirais dans un climat de confiance.
And I would say all of this in a climate of trust.
Il ne faut pas chercher la volonté de Dieu dans la peur.
We can't look for God's will in fear.
Si jamais je me trompe,
if I make a mistake,
c'est vrai qu'une catastrophe.
It'll be a catastrophe.
C'est dans un climat de confiance.
It's in a climate of trust.
Enfin, de manière sérieuse,
in a serious way.
Décidé,
and decided.
Dans la confiance.
But in trust.
Que Dieu est fidèle et
that God is faithful.
Sa volonté pour nous est bonne.
And that his will for us is good.
Parce que Dieu désire, c'est notre bonheur.
Because God desires our happiness.
Donc, il faut un certain climat.
So we need a certain atmosphere. And it's a little bit what I was already speaking of searching, of trust, of humility. It's often pride that blinds us. So there isn't a formula that will always work. But there are certain principles to take into account.
Avec ce qui s'exprime dans l'écriture.
That the will of God is makes sense according to what is in the word of God.
Avec la tradition de l'Église aussi.
Also within the tradition of the church.
Parce que là, de profond, authentique.
What's there is profound and authentic.
Donc, et puis je dirais que la volonté de Dieu c'est toujours aussi dans le réel.
And I would say too that the will of God is always in what is real.
Dieu nous demande des choses qui sont enfin comment dire. Pour comprendre la volonté de Dieu,
to understand the will of God,
il faut aussi accueillir le réel tel qu'il est.
We also have to accept reality as it is.
Et donc, un des principes fondamentaux aussi,
so one of the fundamental principles also
la volonté de Dieu,
is that God's will
c'est ce qui me met dans la paix.
Is what puts me at peace.
Ça, c'est un principe un peu général de discernement.
This is a general principle of discernment.
Dont l'application est parfois un petit peu délicate.
But in an application that's and the application is sometimes delicate.
Entre différentes décisions,
between different decisions,
je dois prier,
I have to pray.
Je dois réfléchir,
I have to reflect.
Parfois, je dois demander conseil.
Sometimes I have to ask advice.
Mais la décision que je dois prendre,
but the decision that I should make
c'est celle qui me met dans la paix.
Is the one that puts me at peace.
Et là, c'est un signe en général.
That's a sign in general.
Il s'agit de la volonté de Dieu.
It's a sign that it's God's will.
Quand on adhère à la volonté de Dieu,
and when we adhere to God's will, we find a deep peace. But when we follow our own ideas, it's not always the same. So that's one of the fundamental principles of discernment. But sometimes it can take time to perceive things. I can't say too much more because it would take a whole retreat in itself to talk of this subject. But I think that what I've already said can give an idea. When I'm faced with a dilemma, I have to pray and say, well, what does the word of God say about this? What does the church teach? And then I have to make the decision that seems to be the best to me and that sets me at peace. So we don't always have a complete clarity. Sometimes it happens that things are very clear. But sometimes we can remain with a certain hesitation. When we're hesitating maybe between two things that are good. Between something good and something bad, there's no reason to hesitate. But sometimes between two choices that are good, we don't always have absolute certainty that this is the will of God. Because sometimes God lets us be free. And so in those cases, when we don't know, we just have to choose which seems best. And that's it. We can't complicate life too much. And then even if after, we realize that maybe it wasn't the best decision, we can't regret it. We have to trust in God. God asks us for goodwill, but he doesn't always ask us to choose in absolute certainty. Sometimes it's given, it's a grace, but we don't always have an absolute certainty. So we have to do what seems best. We have to, after praying, after asking advice, just to do what seems best to me and be at peace with that.
Do you have advice for inspiring young children and young adults to have a love of prayer life?
I think that for children, the example of the parents is important, first of all. If the parents pray in a true, sincere way, the child will open easily to prayer. I think it's good to have time of prayer in family with the children when they're little. To pray around the crib, and little by little, as their conscience is wakened, help them to pray. For a little child, it's fairly easy. If the parents speak of God, to give him thanks, to ask for this or that thing, to entrust themselves to him. And the child will do the same thing spontaneously. They have an awareness of the mystery of God in some way. So I think we can introduce them to prayer life fairly easily. And so I think this is what counts, is to have good habits when they're little. But at the same time, it remains mysterious. Because not all children will open in the same way. We have to accept that. And then when they become older, that can become more difficult. I can tell you at the age of 14, they say to you coldly, "I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist now." We can't take them too seriously. There's a moment where it's personal freedom that starts to come into play. Faith is a gift from God. And the parents have to communicate it as much as they can. But we're not all powerful. There's a mystery in the soul and in the path of each person. And sometimes it's painful for parents. They'd like to give the best. We'd like to inspire a beautiful Christian life into all of our children. And we don't always succeed in the way that we'd like. But we can't become guilty or become discouraged. We have to continue to carry them in our prayer and trust in God.
It seems that the lack of faith presents an insurmountable barrier to prayer. It seems that the lack of faith might represent an insurmountable barrier to prayer. Or is it possible that the other virtues could draw someone into a prayer life?
Est-ce que c'est possible que l'espérance et l'amour attirent quelqu'un dans une vie de prière sans la foi?
Comment dire
si je comprends bien la question. If I understand the question.
Donc j'ai dit que la prière était une des, un des actes fond, la, la foi était une dimension fondamentale de la prière.
I said that faith was a fundamental dimension of prayer.
Et avec l'amour et l'espérance.
With love and hope.
Donc c'est vrai que si je, je enfin, si, que, si quelqu'un vit une espérance et un amour authentique.
If someone is living in hope and true and authentic love.
Enfin, ça dépend ce qu'on appelle l'espérance, hein, je dirais.
Well, it's not that. It's not what we call hope.
L'espérance, elle doit avoir un objet.
Hope has to have an object.
Qu'est-ce que j'espère?
What do I? What am I hoping for?
Qu'est-ce que j'aime?
What do I love?
Alors, quand la foi, l'espérance et l'amour.
When faith, hope, and love.
Tourner vers Dieu de manière explicite.
Are turned toward God in an explicit way.
C'est sûr, c'est une grande grâce.
It's definitely a great grace.
Ça donne un dynamisme à la prière, à la vie spirituelle.
And it gives dynamism to prayer life and spiritual life.
Ceci dit, je crois qu'il y a des personnes qui n'ont pas forcément la foi chrétienne.
Having said that, I believe that there are people who don't necessarily have Christian faith, nor Christian hope in the explicit sense, but who are people of good intention, who want to love, who have a certain hope that doesn't have God as a direct object, but they hope in the value of life, in trusting the future. So there's a certain faith, and it's not explicitly faith, but it's a certain trust in the value of life. So can we speak of prayer in those cases? I think these are good things that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that can bring us close to God, it's sure. If someone is looking in a sincere way, to give a meaning to their life. In the end, they can meet the Lord.
Alors, est-ce qu'on peut parler de prière?
Can we speak of prayer?
Ben, je crois que quand on parle de prière, ça suppose qu'il y a un interlocuteur.
But when we speak of prayer, there's someone we're praying to.
Quelqu'un qu'on écoute et à qui on s'adresse.
Someone who's listening, who we're addressing ourselves to.
Alors, certaines personnes peuvent avoir une certaine relation avec Dieu.
So certain people can have a certain relationship with God. That's not the Trinitarian God that we profess the faith in. It can be a certain stage that they're at. I'm not sure if I responded to the question.
Can you describe your relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit and then how we can be more receptive?
Je crois que, enfin, c'est difficile de décrire.
So it's difficult to describe.
Enfin, ce que je dirais, c'est que ce qui est important pour nous chrétiens, c'est ce que fait l'Église.
What I would say, what's important for us as Christians and what the Church does,
c'est de prier le Saint-Esprit.
Is to pray to the Holy Spirit.
C'est ce que l'Église fait souvent.
This is what in the Church we do often.
Quand on confère les sacrements.
When we celebrate the sacraments.
When
we celebrate the Eucharist. Or when we have a reunion at a synod. And also in our personal life. We ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and to set our hearts on fire. There's a beautiful word of the gospel where Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. And Jesus uses this image. Say to yourself, you who are bad, you who are evil, you know how to give good things to your children. If your son asks you for an egg, you won't give him a scorpion. And how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of it? So Jesus invites us in a very clear way in this parable to ask for the Holy Spirit. And he promised he would be given, that he would send the consoler. So I would say that in the life of the church, as in our personal life, we have to pray for to receive the grace of the Holy Spirit. And I think that if we have this desire, this request, then we will have an experience of the Spirit, a certain light that's given to us, graces of consolation, moments where we sense God's presence. Something that opens in our hearts. As soon as we have a real, true spiritual experience, where I'm touched by the mystery of God, and my heart opens to new realities, as soon as faith, hope, and love are fortified, this is the work of the Spirit. It's He who does everything in our lives. There is no progress in faith or in hope, no progress in love without the work of the Spirit. So this is where we have a certain experience of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works in a hidden way sometimes, not always in a way we can experience. We can't limit the action of God to an experience. It's deeper than that. But it's true that if we're faithful to spiritual life, there are certain times in our life where the presence of the Holy Spirit can be something we can really touch. God becomes more alive. For example, a certain verse of Scripture that said nothing to me at all becomes very clear. And it comes to meet me where I need it. As soon as Christian life and the Word of God becomes something living, it is the presence of the Spirit. It's lights that are given to us. Sometimes we sense as well that in us, for example, we find a strength to forgive, or to a decision that we can make in the direction of love that we weren't able to do before, and then we become capable. I wasn't able to forgive someone, and I really prayed for it. And then one day, I realize I have the grace, and I am able to forgive in the end. This is the experience of the Spirit that comes to the aid of our weakness.
Yes, I find myself at Mass, for saying the rosary, or sometimes even in prayers,
à la messe ou disant le chapelet, elle a des distractions.
And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions or ideas on how to stay more focused.
Ah, comment rester, oui.
Enfin, je dirais que les distractions, c'est un problème qui est tout à fait normal.
I would say that distractions are a normal problem.
Et on peut pas s'en débarrasser complètement.
And we cannot get rid of them completely.
Je pense à part des cas très particuliers,
I think apart from very particular cases,
des moments de grande grâce,
and moments of great grace,
on aura toujours un peu de distraction.
We'll always have a little bit of distraction.
Il faut pas en faire un drame,
so we can't make a big deal out of it.
Quand je suis en prière,
and when I'm in prayer, and I realize I'm completely distracted. I'm thinking about the Super Bowl match instead of thinking of the Lord. I have to come back to God and redirect my attention to God. Maybe it's a text that I meditate on. Or I look at the crucifix, or I look at the Blessed Sacrament. I reorient my attention toward God. This is what we have to do.
Même si je dois faire mille fois pendant une heure de prière,
and even if I have to do it 1,000 times in 1 hour of prayer,
bah Dieu voit ma bonne volonté.
Well, God sees my good intention.
Je suis parti souvent, mais je suis revenu.
I left a lot, but I came back.
Bon, ce qui est important, c'est de revenir à la maison.
So what's important is to come home.
Alors, en même temps, c'est vrai que nous pouvons entrer dans une prière plus recueillie.
It's true though that we can enter into prayer that's little by little kind of held back.
Alors on peut pas se concentrer totalement.
We can't concentrate ourselves completely.
Teresa d'Avila dit que la prière.
Teresa of Avila said.
C'est pas de penser beaucoup.
That prayer is not about thinking a lot.
Mais c'est d'aimer beaucoup.
It's about loving a lot.
Je crois que je dirais que au fur et à mesure que l'amour grandit.
And I would say that as over time as love grows. Then it's easier to enter in.
Quand on aime profondément quelqu'un,
when we really deeply love someone,
le cœur et les pensées,
then the heart and the mind,
ils retournent vers cette personne plus facilement.
They return more easily to this person.
Et donc, peu à peu, il faut demander cette grâce de grandir dans l'amour.
So little by little, we have to ask for this grace to grow in love.
Et puis je crois aussi que ce qui se passe peu à peu dans la prière,
and I think too that what happens in prayer,
c'est que nous découvrons davantage la présence de Dieu en nous.
Is that we discover more and more God's presence within us.
Et puis, il y a quelque chose qui s'éveille dans notre cœur.
And there's something that wakes up in our heart.
Et au début de la vie spirituelle,
and at the beginning of spiritual life,
la prière est beaucoup dans la pensée.
Prayer is a lot in the mind.
Les pensées, réflexions, méditations.
In thoughts, in meditations, reflections.
Ce n'est pas une mauvaise chose.
Which is not a bad thing.
Mais peu à peu,
but little by little,
la prière descend plus profond.
Prayer goes deeper.
C'est pas une quantité de pensée,
and it's not about a quantity of thoughts.
Mais une attitude intérieure.
But an interior attitude,
une attitude simple,
a simple attitude
de foi, d'espérance, d'amour,
of faith, hope, love
dans notre cœur,
in our hearts,
le cœur qui est tourné vers Dieu,
the heart that is turned toward God
de manière paisible, ouverte,
in a peaceful, open way.
Alors, on peut arriver comme ça à un état de prière,
so we can come to a state of this in prayer,
où à la fois on est un petit peu distrait,
and sometimes we're a little distracted
parce que la pensée bouge un petit peu,
because our mind is moving a little. It's kind of like flies that are bothering us.
Mais c'est pas très grave, vous voyez?
But it's not very serious.
Parce que le cœur reste tourné vers Dieu.
Because the heart remains turned toward God.
Il y a une attention amoureuse à Dieu.
There's a loving attention to God
dans notre cœur.
In our heart.
Et même si les pensées se promènent un peu,
and even if our thoughts are kind of moving around,
on a quand même un recueillement intérieur.
We're coming close to God inside.
Une communion avec Dieu.
And a communion with God.
Et plus au niveau du cœur,
more on the level of our heart
qu'au niveau des pensées.
Than on the level of our thoughts.
Donc là, le recueillement est plus facile.
And there it's easier to recollect.
Mais ça, c'est déjà une grâce, oui.
But enfin, this is a grace.
L'habitude y aide.
It's helped by doing it habitually.
On apprend un peu à descendre en soi-même.
Where we learn to descend in ourselves. But it takes time to rediscover the presence of God in us, to be less in our thoughts and more in the level of our heart. But it's a grace too. If we're faithful, and the Holy Spirit will help us little by little. So this isn't to say that prayer is always perfect. There will always be times that are more difficult when we're tired. Sometimes we have a hard time praying. But it becomes more easy to recollect.
Honestly, I appreciate your distinction earlier between prayer and Christian prayer. The difference between it is to pray, but the unique character of Christian prayer. Do you think we've lost a sense of what authentic Christian prayer is because we don't appreciate what happened at our baptism? What fundamentally occurred when we were baptized?
C'est vrai, je dirais que la grâce du baptême est extrêmement importante.
So it's true that the grace of baptism is extremely important.
Et notre prière trouve toute sa richesse.
And that our prayer finds all of its treasure.
Quand elle devient une relation avec les personnes de la Trinité.
When it becomes a personal relationship with a person of the Trinity.
Comme on en a parlé tout à l'heure.
As we were talking about.
Donc c'est certain que cette prière a une grande richesse.
So it's certain that this that our prayer has a great richness.
Mais en même temps, il y a quand même des prières authentiques en dehors du christianisme.
But all the same, I would say that there is authentic prayer outside of Christianity.
Prenons par exemple le cas de la tradition juive.
In the Jewish tradition, for example.
Quand on voit toutes les prières de l'Ancien Testament.
When we see all of the prayers in the Old Testament.
C'est pas encore la prière chrétienne.
It's not Christian prayer yet.
Mais c'est des prières très belles. Vous voyez.
But they're very beautiful prayers.
D'amour,
of love.
De confiance,
of trust.
D'humilité,
of humility.
D'action de grâce,
of thanksgiving.
Ça témoigne d'une vraie expérience de Dieu.
And this is this witnesses to a true experience of God.
Alors, quand cette prière peut s'accomplir dans
So when this prayer can be accomplished in the mystery of Christ,
bien sûr, c'est extraordinaire.
It's extraordinary.
Il y a quand même déjà une prière authentique, hein.
But there is already an authentic prayer in the Jewish tradition, for example.
Et puis dans d'autres courants religieux aussi, alors.
And in other religious currents as well.
Il faut pas dire que toutes les religions sont équivalentes, est-ce que c'est pas juste?
We can't say that all religions are equal, which wouldn't be correct.
Mais il y a quand même en dehors du christianisme.
But there is all the same outside of Christianity.
There
are people who've had a true experience of God. It maybe didn't have all of the same richness. But there's all the same, they're on a true path toward God.
What would you say are the enemies of a disposition?
Ben, je pense que si on tient compte un peu de ce que j'ai dit,
I think if we take an account of what I've said,
le principal ennemi de notre vie de prière,
I'd say that the principal enemy of our prayer life,
c'est nos manques de foi,
is our lack of faith,
nos manques d'espérance,
our lack of hope,
et puis aussi la recherche de nous-mêmes, vous voyez,
and also a search for ourselves,
un amour qui n'est pas assez pur,
hein. A love that is not pure enough.
C'est ça, les principaux obstacles.
These are the principal obstacles.
Après ça, il y a aussi notre humanité.
After that, there's also our humanity. We are what we are. God sees our goodwill. It's not really a problem. But what's sometimes difficult for us is faithfulness. And the devil tempts us very often to leave prayer. Saying to us, it's not worth anything. You're just getting bored. There are really interesting things on TV you shouldn't miss. There's always a million reasons to turn away from prayer. So it's true that perseverance in prayer, it requires a certain struggle, especially at the beginning. But after that, once we've taken up good habits and our experience of God becomes deeper, things are easier. And then we're thirsty for prayer because we feel that it's important. But we can't be afraid of our enemies either. We have to rely on God's grace and ask for courage and faithfulness. And be decided. It's something that Teresa of Avila says very often. Determination. We have to understand what's at stake and the value of prayer. And be decided to persevere. And the more the fruits of prayer, or we know that the fruits of prayer don't come right away. They come little by little. And it requires faithfulness and fidelity. So this is maybe the principal struggle. But we have to be convinced of the importance. And then invoke God's grace to help us, to walk with us.
You spoke about a time when every heart will know God. And
au dernier temps.
Enfin, bon, Dieu seul connaît les temps.
So God alone knows time.
Alors moi, je fais allusion à des versets d'écriture.
So I'm alluding to verses in scripture
qui annoncent le temps.
That announce this time.
Toute la terre sera remplie de la connaissance de Dieu.
Where the whole earth will be filled with knowledge of God.
Alors, je sais pas quand ça va mieux.
So I don't know when that's going to happen. Only God knows. But I would say what we have to do is to accelerate this time. As Saint Peter says in his epistle, through our prayer, we have the ability to bring the kingdom closer. So I don't know when the kingdom's going to come. But I know that if I look for it with all my heart, then the kingdom will come more quickly. That's certain.
I found those words in Jeremiah, and
elle a trouvé les mots en Jérémie.
Comment?
Elle a trouvé les mots en Jérémie en cherchant. Et c'était tellement
beau. It just gives the soul a lot of joy.
Ça donne beaucoup de joie à l'âme.
Oui, bien sûr. Oui, c'est des promesses qui sont extraordinaires.
They're extraordinary promises.
Je pense que le but de ces promesses,
oui, I think that the objective of these promises is to encourage us and give us hope, and above all, to give us a thirst.
Oui, nous pouvons beaucoup plus que ce que nous croyons.
We can do a lot more than we believe.
Alors, nous ne sommes pas des Superman, évidemment.
So we're not Superman, obviously.
Pour accepter nos limites humaines,
we have to accept our human limits.
On peut pas tout transformer comme ça.
We can't transform everything like that.
Mais quand même, oui.
But all the same, but we have more power than we think.
Par la foi, par l'amour,
through faith and through love,
il faut transformer beaucoup de choses.
We can transform a lot of things.
Il faut demander au Seigneur cette soif.
So we have to ask the Lord for this thirst.
Oui, il y a des passages extraordinaires dans l'écriture.
There are extraordinary passages in Scripture.
Dans le livre de d'Isaïe,
in the book of Isaiah.
Chapitre 52 ou 56, enfin je sais plus.
It's chapter 52 or 56 or something.
Une parole très belle où Dieu parle à travers la bouche du prophète.
There's a beautiful word where God speaks through the mouth of the prophet.
Il dit, Jérusalem, j'ai mis des veilleurs sur tes montagnes, sur tes murailles.
And he says, Jerusalem, I set watchmen on your walls.
Qui ni de jour ni de nuit ne se tairont.
That neither day nor night will go to sleep. Is this it?
Et
will not be silent.
Pour rappeler à Dieu ses promesses.
To remind God of his promises.
Qu'ils ne laisseront pas Dieu en repos.
That they will not allow God to be at rest.
Tant qu'il n'ait pas accompli ses promesses.
As long as he has not accomplished his promises.
Oui. Supplier Dieu.
So,
c'est l'évangile aussi. Oui.
So this is the gospel too.
Comment Jésus ne ferait pas justice à ses élus? Comment Dieu ne ferait pas justice à ses élus qui crient à lui nuit et jour?
How can God not give justice to his people who are crying out to him day and night?
Faire justice, c'est justement faire venir le royaume.
And to bring about justice is exactly this, to bring the kingdom.
Dieu a besoin de notre prière.
God needs our prayer.
Nous soyons des veilleurs.
And we really have to ask for it.
On est des veilleurs sur les murailles de
Jérusalem. We have to be the watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem.
Je dis pas qu'il faut pas dormir.
I'm not saying that we can't sleep.
Je crois qu'il y a une prière continuelle.
But I think that continual prayer,
it's
the prayer of desire.
La faim et la soif.
The end of this will be a thirst.
La faim et la soif du royaume.
We need to hunger and thirst for the kingdom.
La faim et la soif de la justice de Dieu.
So hunger and thirst for God's justice. That is salvation from God. All flesh will see the salvation of God. I think it's part of Christian vocation. We spoke of the grace of baptism. I think that the first grace of baptism is this call to prayer, to supplicate God for the salvation of the world, that he will accomplish his promises.
Qu'on a toujours notre Bible en main.
We have to always have our Bible in hand.
Seigneur,
saying, Lord,
rappelle-toi ce que tu as écrit.
Remember what you wrote.
Et accomplis tes promesses.
And accomplish your promise.
Hein, mais je pense que en vivant cela,
but I think that in living this out, we're waiting for the coming of the kingdom.
On accélère la venue.
And we're accelerating it.
Il nous faut beaucoup d'espérance.
We have to have a lot of hope.
Mais aussi beaucoup de fidélité.
But also a lot of faithfulness.
Un véritable désir.
And a real desire
de Dieu,
of God
et du royaume.
And of the kingdom.
Father Jacques, I'm very honored to be at a retreat with you. And just so blessed. My wife and I don't think we'd be in a vocation if it wasn't for your books. So, but yesterday you were talking about the presence of the Trinity, you know, dwelling within our hearts. And I had that image of the tabernacle, just thinking of that. What would be, when you pray, going in front of the tabernacle, obviously, is a great way to communicate with God and be in His presence. What would be the difference of the presence within your heart versus being in the presence within the
tabernacle?
I would say that it's two different things. The real presence of Jesus in the host. But there's also the presence of God in our hearts. And it's not the same nature. But there is a true presence of God in us. God dwells in our hearts because we're made in His image. And I'll speak more of that tomorrow. So this means that prayer can have different forms. So prayer is very rich, in fact. There are moments where I can pray to God as somebody who's facing me. When I adore the Blessed Sacrament, I recognize Jesus' presence, the divine presence. And I adore Him, I give Him thanks. And I welcome His presence. I allow His presence to illuminate me, like the Sun of Justice, that brings healing in its rays. So we can pray like this before the Blessed Sacrament. But sometimes we can also pray differently. Welcome the presence of God in ourselves. Recollect ourselves. Close our eyes. And then descend in ourselves in an act of faith. And saying, Lord, I give you thanks because you dwell in my heart. And I welcome your presence. You are in me like a source. And I want to, like a spring, and I want to allow it to burst forth. I want to adore your presence in me and not leave you alone. But I want to visit you in my heart. So in the beginning, it's an act of faith. But I would say little by little, if we persevere in this form of prayer, we have a certain interior experience of God's presence in us. And that becomes a great treasure for prayer, a richness for prayer. So they're not at all in opposition. They complete one another. There are different forms of God's presence. And we can orient our prayer toward them. So sometimes I speak to God as someone exterior. And I adore the Eucharist. But sometimes I unite myself to the presence of God in my heart. And the two are good and true. And according to the time in our life, according to what's possible, we can use one or the other form of prayer. And others as well. I'll speak more of that tomorrow morning.
You had just said God needs our prayers, and earlier you said God desires it. I can understand desires, but why does He need them?
Alors, c'est vrai que, bon, quand on parle avec des mots humains, c'est toujours limité.
It's true, when we speak with human words, it's always limited.
Alors, c'est vrai qu'en un certain sens, Dieu n'a pas besoin de nous.
So it's true that in a certain sense, God does not need us. God can save the world all alone. but God wanted, and I think it's a grace, to make of us not just consumers, but participants in redemption in an active way and personal way. This is a great grace.
C'est en ce sens-là que Dieu a, il a pas besoin de nos prières.
So he doesn't need our prayer.
Mais il a voulu quand même.
But he wanted
que nos prières soient efficaces.
That our prayers be have an effect.
Et donc il nous invite à la prière.
And so he invites us to prayer.
Je crois que c'est une grâce pour nous.
And I think this is a grace for us.
Je fais une petite réflexion là, puis je vais m'arrêter après parce que l'heure tourne.
So I'll make a little reflection on that and then I'll stop. To be able to pray for someone is a great gift that God gives us. I'll take an example. A lot of parents, they know a certain suffering when their children make mistakes, or they have a son who's addicted to drugs, who leaves to the other end of the world and gives no news. This is painful for a parent. When we have someone we love and we're powerless. Because when a child is 3, we can take care of him, there's no problem. When he's 25, sometimes we're powerless. And this is very painful. Somebody who's at risk of losing themselves. And I'm powerless. But prayer remains open to us. We still have faith. We still have hope and prayer. And I know that through my prayer, God can do something. I can meet this person through prayer. And this is a great consolation. In situations of powerlessness or of distress, we can entrust things to God, and we know it works. God listens to our prayers. Maybe not immediately, but God listens to our prayers. And this is a great consolation.